Good afternoon in Europe, good morning in the U.S., and welcome to our third quarter and nine-month earnings conference call and webcast. Thanks for joining. I'm very pleased to introduce to you Mark Schneider, CEO, and Stefan Sturm, CFO. Before we get started, I'd like to mention that today's call is being recorded, and I'd like to point your attention to the forward-looking statement and disclaimer wording on page two of our presentation. This cautionary language also applies to the presentations and comments to be made today. By now, we hope everybody has had a chance to look at the presentation on our website. Mark Schneider will now provide a general overview, and Stefan Sturm will take you through the financials. Afterwards, management is prepared to answer your questions. Now, I would like to hand the call over to Mark. Mark, please.
Thank you, Birgit, and a warm welcome to our Q3 conference call participants today. We appreciate your interest in our firm and are pleased to report another record quarter today. Birgit has pointed out the safe harbor language to you, so let's move to the summary of financial results on page three. In the first three quarters of 2012, we had sales of €14.1 billion, EBIT of €2.224 billion, and net income of €682 million. Q3 alone was our strongest quarter ever, with net income of €248 million. This is higher than the €222 million net income in the full year 2005. Our second strongest quarter ever, by the way, was Q2 this year with €234 million, so we are on track for an impressive increase in net income in fiscal year 2012. All our growth rates on this page are double-digit. We continue to benefit from favorable currency effects, as Stefan will explain later. Hence, our actual currency growth rates are 6 percentage points ahead of constant currency growth rates. Moving to page 4 and the financial results by business segment, you see double-digit sales growth for Kabi, Helios, and Vamed, and double-digit EBIT growth for Fresenius Medical Care, Kabi, and Helios. Just as at the half-year point, Helios had the highest sales growth with 20% and the highest EBIT growth with 19%. Before turning to Kabi, Helios, and Vamed in more detail, a brief word on Fresenius Medical Care. The company has not fully met our expectations for the quarter, but has made good progress in a difficult environment. Organic sales growth has recovered slightly from 2011 levels when the bundled reimbursement system was introduced in North America. At the same time, the EBIT margin has continued to increase over prior year levels in 2 out of 3 quarters this year. Fresenius Medical Care continues to integrate its major recent acquisitions, namely Liberty Dialysis, Euromedics, in American Access Care. With the appointment of Ron Kurvitz to head the North America region starting from January 1, 2013, Fresenius Medical Care is putting the finishing touches on its leadership transition process. Now moving to Kabi. Kabi has seen an outstanding third quarter and nine-month period in 2012. Three drivers of strong organic growth in the first half continued to support top-line development in Q3. Number one, strong emerging market growth. Number two, strong worldwide IV generic sales, supported, among others, by the drug shortage situation in the U.S. And number three, a very solid performance in established European markets. As you can see from the slide, the U.S. drug shortage situation in general has slightly improved from July to October this year, with less drugs in short supply. Based on the FDA's drug shortage list, We expect to remain in a sole supply situation for propofol for essentially the remainder of this year. In previous meetings, there was a lot of interest in the question how much of our top-line outperformance in the U.S. is due to the general drug shortage situation and how much is due to propofol. While it is hard to give precise numbers on that, a good rule of thumb for this year is that about two-thirds of our top-line outperformance in the U.S. is due to the general drug shortage situation and about one-third due to propofol alone. As announced on earlier occasions, we expect the general drug shortage situation to improve slightly over the remainder of this year and throughout 2013, and then eventually to tail off. For the remainder of this year, I do not expect any significant surprises regarding our top-line expectations for North America. When we announce our Q4 results in late February, it will be a good time to share with you our latest thinking about the drug shortage situation in 2013. I would also like to point out that we have hit our product launch target for this year in the U.S. market with 9 drug launches, and that we continue to expect to close our Fenwall acquisition in Q4 of this year. A brief update regarding Grand Island and our FDA warning letter. The plant has not been re-audited yet, and we expect the resolution of this matter to take us into 2013. I mentioned on earlier occasions that none of our U.S. drug launches for 2012 was planned to be manufactured at Grand Island, so there was no impact on our launch schedule for this year. Regarding 2013, only a small number of our anticipated launches is planned to be manufactured at Grand Island, and hence I do not expect a significant negative impact on our launch plans for next year either. Moving now to slide 6 and Helios. The company just continues to perform extremely well in terms of organic sales growth and margin development. The EBIT margin for the 9-month period is virtually flat over last year, in spite of the fact that due to our acquisition activity in 2011, nearly 20% of group sales have newly joined in the form of lower margin yet to be restructured business. This is no small feat and was only possible due to continued impressive margin expansion and our established clinics. At this point in the year, a lot of attention is focused already on 2013, and I am pleased that the DRG inflator for that year has been set at 2%. This is the highest increase since the introduction of the DRG system in Germany in 2003. Regarding hospital transactions, the market continues to outperform 2011 and 2010 levels significantly. We are seeing again healthy transaction volume comparable to the good years 2006 and 2007. With that, let me move to page 7 and vomit. The company continued to perform towards the upper end of expectations, hence the slight uptick in our guidance. In particular, order intake was very strong in Q3 2012. The new acquisition in Italy is performing at the top end of expectations. We have also significantly increased Vamed's presence in the Swiss market with 2 steps. One is the establishment of our hospital service business, and the other one is the transfer of Helios's only Switzerland-based rehab clinic to Vamed. The combined upside of the HC Hospital Consulting acquisition and the Swiss clinic transfer to Vamed is about €50 million in sales for the 9-month period of 2012. Before handing it over to Stefan, a brief word on biotech. Both biotech products, Removap and ATG Fresenius S, continued to grow at double-digit rates in Q3. Nonetheless, As you know from our earlier conference calls, we will give you an update on our future Fresenius Biotech strategy before the end of the year. As of now, expect to hear from us in a conference call by about mid-December. With this, let me hand it over to Stefan.
Thank you, Mark. Good afternoon, good morning, a warm welcome. You heard it from Mark, yet another strong quarter, pretty much across the board, record earnings, so we're well on track to meet our full year guidance. As usual, let's start with the group P&L, and that's on slide 9. Sales came in at 4.9 billion euros in the third quarter, that is 20% growth, 13% at constant exchange rates. That is very much in line with the growth we've seen in the second quarter. So year-to-date growth has increased further, and we were less than 10 million euros away from rounding that to 13% at constant currency. A slightly higher contribution from organic growth, though. 6% in Q3 versus 5% in the first two quarters. That uptick is primarily driven by Vamed and by FMC. EBIT, pre the one-time expenses related to our own bid, reached 784 million euros in Q3. That's a margin of 16.1%, virtually unchanged from the prior quarter and from Q3 last year. Corporate EBIT was minus 10 million euros in the third quarter, minus 26 year to date. That's better than expected, primarily because of biotech. And notwithstanding the typical Q4 pickup, we should be below last year's minus 45 million euros for the full year. Net interest was 167 million in the third quarter, virtually unchanged from Q2. And at 480 million euros year to date, we're well on track for the around 640 million euros I had guided you to for the full year. Tax rate in the group stands at 30.1% year-to-date, and that's fully in line with my guidance of around 30%. As to net income, yet again, a record quarter, 248 million euros, up 23% year-on-year, 15% currency adjusted. And also the year-to-date result, 682 million euros, represents 15% growth at constant exchange rates. We basically need another Q3 to make our full year guidance. That should be doable. With that, let's move over to Kabi on slide 10. There, EBIT reached 700 million euros after 9 months. That's up 14% year over year. That's a margin of 20.8%, so even slightly ahead of our full-year guidance. In Q3 standalone, the margin reached an exceptional 22%. To the regions, in Europe, we're still behind last year's margin, primarily for the precautionary initiatives from the first half, but we do expect a strong finish, and that should take the full-year margin beyond 20%. The Q3 margin in North America remained at an exceptional level, 42.2%. We continue to expect a moderation of drug shortages in the fourth quarter. My best guess for the full year is therefore a margin in the very high 30s. Q3 saw further margin progress in the emerging markets, where it's now clear that the full year margin will be ahead of Europe for the first time. Over to Helios on slide 11. Mark mentioned it. The former Helios rehab facility in Zielschlacht, Switzerland, now belongs to Vamed. So the numbers on this slide exclude the respective sales and EBIT contribution for the first 9 months. We saw healthy organic sales growth of 5% again in the third quarter, in line with the performance in the first half. And that, again, is mainly driven by an increased number of hospital admissions. Q3 EBIT of 82 million euros is basically flat versus Q2. but do bear in mind that we released a meaningful provision in Q2. That effect, though, was offset in the third quarter by the substantial turnaround in the newly acquired clinic portfolio, as we projected. There, we had a positive contribution of €8 million in Q3, taking us from minus 11 in the first half to minus 3 only after 9 months. And I therefore feel very comfortable with my guidance of a positive EBIT in the full year. Let's move briefly to Vamed on slide 12. And there, the numbers are fully in line, actually more towards the upper end of our expectations. And whilst the project business revenue decreased slightly, unfortunately, again driven by the unrest in the Middle East and especially in Libya, we saw a massive increase in our service business. Growth rate of 49%, obviously, is driven by Zielschlacht and also by the acquisition in Switzerland. However, also organic growth in the service business came in at an outstanding 19%. And you heard me before talking about my very favorable view of Vamed's service business for its lack of volatility. Let's move on to slide 13 and the cash flow development, where we had a very positive development in the third quarter. Cash flow is actually my highlight of Q3. Take a look at the bottom line of this slide. 12.7% operating cash flow margin in the last 12 months, leading to 8.1% free cash flow margin for the last 12 months in the group. So it applies to both the group as a whole, as well as to the group excluding Fresenius Medical Care, where we had an operating cash flow margin of 10.8% and a free cash flow margin of 6.4%. Looking at the individual business segments, Fresenius Kabi, again driven by some extraordinary cash inflow, when it was Spanish receivables in the second quarter, it was quite some inflow based on Portuguese receivables in Q3. And whereas I'm still not entirely happy with the operating cash flow at Fresenius Helios and the DSO development there, progress has been made as predicted in the meantime, and I expect a further uptick of the operating cash flow margin for the full year. So let's move on to slide 14 and the guidance for the individual business segments. I'd like to fully confirm Fresenius Kabi's guidance as to organic growth, given where we are right now. 9% is very highly likely. And also as to the EBIT margin, where given that we are at 20.8% after 9 months, anything less than 20.5% in the meantime looks increasingly unlikely. As to Helios, given that we are at 5% organic growth after 9 months, I do feel very comfortable with our 3-5% guidance for the full year. And even though the fourth quarter is a very tough comp to beat, I have no doubt that we'll be able to make that range. As to EBIT, do bear in mind what I just said about the increasingly positive contribution from our newly acquired hospital portfolio. Basically, as a whole, we need another third quarter EBIT contribution to make our full year guidance. And frankly, I cannot see why that shouldn't be possible. I actually believe that we're going to beat the third quarter in the final quarter of 2012. As far as Vamed is concerned, given the development year to date, we feel comfortable improving the guidance to the upper ends of the ranges for sales and EBIT growth. And given also the better than expected cost development at Biotech, we now feel that we're going to be at around €25 million of negative EBIT relative to our earlier expectation of 25 to 30 million. Let's move on to the group financial outlook on slide 15. And as to revenue growth, after 9 months, we were at 12.4% growth at constant currency. I do expect at least a slight pickup in Q4, not only, but in particular at Vamed, hence our comfort in improving their guidance. And therefore, I can also fully confirm our guidance range of 12 to 14% sales growth at constant currency. I also confirm my previous expectation of a full year effect of currency translation in the magnitude of 5 to 6 extra growth points. And that, therefore, should take our reported sales growth for the group to the very high teens. As to earnings growth, let me remind you that in early August, we had guided you to 14 to 16% growth at constant exchange rates. And in early September, we increased Kabi's guidance. However, at that time, we consciously chose to leave group guidance unchanged because we wanted to reserve the right to proactively invest these incremental earnings into liability management initiatives. That position remains unchanged, and that guidance remains unchanged. You will have seen that Fresenius Medical Care now expects to reach only the lower end of its guidance range. At the group level, we will offset that with a stronger performance of the other businesses. The improved Vamed guidance and the lower than expected biotech expenses are a good starting point, but there's going to be more. If we choose not to invest into a debt maturity extension, and we haven't taken that decision yet, the guidance range moves up by about 1 point. Now, for the avoidance of doubt, that 14 to 16% range that excludes the Fresenius Medical Care valuation gain. Likewise, it excludes the expenses related to our offer for Rhön. But as you know, those two positions broadly offset each other. As part of its earnings call, FMC will brief you about a potential charge of up to $70 million after tax. That is primarily related to the planned renegotiation of their Venofer agreement with Luitpold and American Regent. $70 million for Fresenius Medical Care equates to approximately 17 million euros at the group level, or about 2 percentage points of earnings growth. Should that charge materialize, we will treat it as a special item outside our core earnings guidance. However, in such a scenario, we'd still expect to make at least the bottom end of our guidance range, i.e. 14%. Now, mind you, all of the earnings growth rates mentioned so far are based on constant foreign exchange rates. They don't take into account the very meaningful currency effects that continue to apply. As you've seen from our reported numbers, at the moment and after 9 months, there is about a 6 percentage point tailwind to our earnings growth coming from currency. And I would expect that to continue to be the case also for the full year. So in any case, we should be looking at reported earnings growth to the tune of 20%. And I think that is no small feat. That concludes my presentation. Mark and I will now be happy to take your questions. Thank you so far.
We are now starting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star two. The first question is from Veronika Dubajova, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Good afternoon, Veronika Dubava here from Goldman Sachs. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two, if I may. The first one is just on clarifying, Mark, your statement about how much propofol versus drug shortages contributed to Kabi this year. From memory, if I am remembering this correctly, your official line used to be propofol is much more important in terms of contribution relative to drug shortages, at least historically that was the case. So trying to understand why that language has changed. And Stefan, maybe if you are able to give us some sense of profitability of these revenues, is it significantly above, you know, the North America average or roughly in line? That would be very helpful for us as we think about 2013. And my second question relates to 2013 as well. I appreciate that the medical device excise tax is not such a big concern for your business, but as you do think about 2013, is there any impact that we should be bearing in mind that might arise for you from that?
Thanks, Veronica. Let me start it off on the first question and then also talk about expectations for the future, and then Stefan can handle the second one. About propofol, I think there's no change here. This clearly is the single most important drug shortage product for us. And what we were saying is that as we compare our original expectations for this year to what has really come in North America, then that outperformance, one-third of that was propofol, and two-thirds were all the other products that are in short supply. So that alone underscores how important propofol is. But it's also important not to lose sight of, you know, these other shortage products and the fact that two-thirds of the outperformance was really the consequence of these products. And hence, since those will be tailing off slower than propofol, you can also expect some continued benefit from them even beyond Q4 2012. In terms of particular expectations for 2013, again, it's hard to speculate where the year is going to go. I think we'll give you guidance as usual at the end of February. Let me say, as of this point, I'm not aware of any particular negative items here that would affect Kabi's performance in 2013.
Veronica, it breaks my heart, but I will have to let you down here. I can confirm that propofol is a very profitable product, but that is about as far as you will be able to draw me, but I'm certain you didn't expect anything different.
Thank you. And the device tax?
Again, you know, this is one of several items, but nothing that has a material impact on our expectations for 2013.
Okay, that's great. And if I can just a quick follow-up, speaking of devices, it looks like Q3 for Kabi, the device business, saw significant deceleration in growth. Any particular reason for that that you can share with us?
Nothing specific, but I think as you look back, you've always seen that the sales development, as you look at individual quarters, has been somewhat lumpy because, keep in mind, some of that business is tender-driven, and so depending on what the timing of these tenders are, there's a more uneven development with those sales than for the other product groups.
That's great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Tom Jones, Berenberg Bank. Please go ahead, sir. Mr. Jones?
Apologies. Sorry, that was my mistake. Thank you for taking my questions. I actually have three, if that's okay. The first was just on the margin in the European part of your Kabi business. At the Q2 numbers, you suggested that you expected Kabi's European margins to be on a par with 2011, which I think was 21% from memory. You're now talking about over 20%. To me, that sounds like a slight softening in tone. You also talked in Q2 about some steps you'd taken to defend margins in the longer term that had impacted the margins in Q2. Would it be fair to say that those steps have not quite yielded the improvements that you expect just yet, or is that a little bit harsh? The second question is just on the cash flow at Helios. You cited adverse DSO development as being one of the factors. I mean, I wasn't aware that DSOs were a particular problem in the German hospital industry. So maybe you could just give me some more color on what's going on an underlying basis there that's causing the fluctuation in DSOs. And then thirdly, an easy one, just to confirm, you talked about liability management initiatives as a potential drag on earnings in the second half of the year. Are you just purely talking about debt and financial liabilities, or is there some operational liability provisioning type things that you might consider doing in the second half of the year?
Tom, it's Stefan, and I think all of these three are for me. As far as the margin in Europe is concerned, I wouldn't interpret that as a softening in tone. And what I was alluding to also in early August was an expected pickup in the second half, not necessarily already in the third quarter. Q3 typically still has a somewhat lower margin given the planned shutdowns that we typically see as part of the summer break. And therefore, what we're seeing right now is well in line with our expectations. As I alluded to as part of my presentation, I do expect a strong finish to the year, and that we're going to be able to take that margin above 20%. We're not going to reach last year's number. I think that comment may have been made after Q1, and in Q2, over the course of Q2, we decided to take some further precautionary initiatives. To the second half of your first question, we didn't expect that to have an immediate return. What I was referring to as these precautionary initiatives was primarily provisions for bad debt in Southern Europe.
Okay.
Secondly, as far as Helios's cash flow is concerned, let me assure you that DSOs are absolutely not an issue in German hospitals. We are talking about DSOs to the tune of around 40 days. But when we were seeing them as low as 36 days towards the back end of last year, and when they were now creeping up to above 40 days, that has an impact on our operating cash flow. And I am keen to get them back to the high 30s, maybe back to where they were before. And that is really the key driver of the operating cash flow performance at our Helios business. And thirdly, yes, that is an easy one. We're only talking about financial liability management.
Okay, perfect. That's all very helpful. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Chris Gretler, Credit Suisse.
Yes, thank you. And I have two questions, actually. First, could you speak on, international drug shortage and what you see there, whether, there is, something building up, or, whether you see, a bit of the same trends in the U.S. that actually, things are easing. And the second question relates to, the Helios business. And I think during Q2, we still had, some positive contribution from, price mix. And it looks like, now that has no longer been the case. No? Is there anything, going on there we should be aware of?
Chris, let me just take the first one. 2012 was a year that saw isolated shortages in some of Kabi's products around the globe, but nothing that's as persistent and as traumatic as the U.S. Generic drug shortage, and so nothing that would significantly impact Kabi's results either way. So again, you saw them come up here and there, somewhere in continental Europe, some overseas, but again, nothing that had a meaningful impact. We would have alerted you to that otherwise.
And Chris, as to organic growth at Helios, obviously given three quarters tracking above 5%, we continue to be very happy with that performance. And also, as said before, the key driver of that organic revenue growth is admissions, patient growth, and case mix and price have never played a very meaningful role. As far as I can see, there hasn't been a change to this over the course of this year. In particular, I cannot detect any softening on that front. But whilst we're discussing this, let me again point out we have a tough comp to beat with Q4 of 11. I'm not sure whether we'll be able to hang on to the 5%, but in any case, the guidance of 3 to 5% is a very safe one.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Ingeborg Ory, Jefferies.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my question. First one on biotech. Could you just remind us whether we should still expect a communication from you about what you expect to do with this division by the end of the year? Secondly, are we still on track for the legacy Kabi products to be launched in the U.S. in 2013? Or at least some of them, and thirdly, on Helios and the margin, which has been particularly strong considering the high level of acquisitions that you've done. Is there anything we should think about here going into next year, and maybe also how much has the very strong organic growth played into these strong margins? Thank you.
Thanks, Ingeborg. And on biotech, again, just wanted to confirm, as of now, we expect to hold a conference call with you in mid-December, and that's where we'll be sharing our plans and strategies for biotech going forward and sort of a final resolution here. So, yes, we're absolutely on track and consistent with earlier announcements on that. Regarding the legacy Kabi products and the U.S. market, yes, I can confirm we're on track for 2013 for our first launches there. And then for the Helios margin, Stefan, you may want to chime in. Nothing in particular on my side.
Ingeborg, you may refer to what I think I said in February when we were guiding for the full year, and I was alluding to the fact that Duisburg and Damp should have a dilutive effect on the overall Helios margin, and but I was also saying that I would expect that not to be meaningful. Actually, if I remember correctly, I said it would be less than a point. At the moment, it is hardly any dilution at all. The pre-existing hospital portfolio, to a certain degree, beats our expectations, Damp and Duisburg are very nicely on track, as evidenced by the turnaround in their profitability in the third quarter. What does play a role is the provision that we released in the second quarter. Without that, we would see a bit more of margin dilution. On the other hand, we are now very much headed towards the top end of our EBIT guidance.
Great, thank you.
The next question is from Ed Ridley-Day, Bank of America. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you. First of all, just again on biotech, Mark, I don't know if you can give us any additional comment on the various options that you are considering ahead of your year-end announcement. Any color you could give us on that? And secondly, on Fenwall and the close of that deal, which we still expect the end of this year, can we expect an update on your guidance of the impact of Fenwell on your business towards the end of this year, or will you then wait until the full year numbers? Thanks.
Let me take those. On Fenwell, I think, as with all the other business segments, we would guide you when it comes to expectations as part of our Q4 conference call in late February. We see the closing as a mere technicality, and we're just confirming that we expect that to take place in Q4. We'll make a brief announcement that it happens, but the closing in itself would not be grounds for sharing any particular guidance. So we'll have to wait for February to share that guidance. In terms of biotech, again, don't want to steal my thunder. We're still looking at various options. We'll narrow those down. I think in earlier calls, we talked about the fact that everything's on the table. And so as of now, don't really have more specifics to share on that. But it'll clear up where exactly we'll be headed. And again, we'll have our shareholders in mind when we make our decisions here.
Thank you.
Jerry, to stick to our time frame, we can take one more question.
Very good. The last question is from Holger Elum, Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, hi, Holger Blum from Deutsche Bank. Three questions I wanted to follow up. Firstly, on the Fenval consolidation, if you maybe 2 points here, if you close it technically this year, would you intend to book any integration costs already this year, if you have a strong year anyway? And also then related to that, if I remembered correctly, you indicated that you will have integration costs running through the P&L as normal cost item and not adjust for it separately in your adjusted EPS figure. Is that still the planning? Second question on Vamed, excluding the acquisition, the two consolidation benefits this year, would you have been on track to make the 5 to 10% sales and EBIT growth target for this year? And third question on Helios, where you have very strong profitability, rather trending above a little bit your target profitability of 15% EBITDA, if you excluding the newly consolidated hospitals, the EBIT margin would have been 11.6%, which is relatively high. Any new thinking about the peak profitability you could have for your mature hospitals midterm? Thanks.
Holger, thanks. This is Mark. Let me take questions 2 and 3, and then Stefan can address the first question about Fenval. On Vamed, yes, we can confirm that range for sales and EBIT even without these two transactions. So, they had nothing to do with our targets. I think these are both strategic moves that made a ton of sense, establishing ourselves better in the Italian market and establishing ourselves in Switzerland. I think both are good steps that had nothing to do with the guidance, and we would have reached that guidance anyways. For Helios, with the margin, what I can refer you to is our aging schedule that we shared as part of the Q4 material for 2011. This is the once annual update, and you know that these clinics that are older than 5 years have by now an average EBITDA margin north of 15%. And I think what's starting to become more apparent here is that these clinics over time, ever so slightly, tend to trend upward a little. And we'll need to see and do some more work on this, but it may over time lead actually to a new target, a new and improved one on these older clinics. But we're watching this as of now. As of now, I think the 11.6 in itself is not overshooting our old expectations, because keep in mind the 15% target margin EBITDA for fully restructured locations, if you take out 3% D&A, you're roughly at 12%. So there's still a little bit of headroom here. But again, we're bumping up, you're right, we're bumping up against those targets. And at the same time, we're seeing that these older clinics continue to have some ever so slight upside going forward. We'll need to understand that better and need to see how we can cast that into a new target that we can share with you. And that's something we'll be focusing on in the next quarters and as we guide you in 2013.
Holger, as to closing of the Fenval acquisition, the process timing is very much on track, and we do expect the closing of this acquisition towards the back end of this year. We had guided you at the time when we announced the acquisitions to an estimated one-time integration cost to the tune of 100 million euros. Some of this amount may still occur in 2012 related to the actual closing. I continue to be of the view that the vast bulk of this amount is going to accrue in 2013 and maybe also with a smaller portion in 2014. Yes, this is a regular P&L item. However, and I think that is the point that you're trying to get at, we will no doubt show that separately. From various conversations that I've had with analysts as well with investors, my view was confirmed that what is really of core interest to our shareholders is the pace at which the underlying business is growing. And therefore, such a one-time item will have to be shown separately so not to mask the progress that we're making in the operating business.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, with that, thanks for joining today. Appreciate your time and good questions, and goodbye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Talk to you in February.